Let's pray. Lord, as much as we like the old and we savor it and we often hold on to it and we protect it, yet you have something brand new for us each day. And so this morning, Lord, we pray as we continue our study through Colossians that you move us out of the comfort of the old and into the excitement and the necessity of the new. So we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week, we started this series, or this two-part message, on the new you and what that looked like. But Paul had to first of all talk about getting rid of the old before he could talk about what the new actually looks like. All too often, the new is maybe not always that new. There are always new models that come out. I ran across this one the other day. Carol's going to be really excited because this is a concept vehicle. It is the concept model of the Nissan Titan. And that's what I happen to drive, and so I'm going to probably, I won't. But I should show this to Carol and say, now look, isn't this what we need? And you know exactly what her answer will be on that. But this is simply a new model. It's basically the same old truck. They put a few new features on it, like some lights, and they put in a turbo diesel engine, and they put all sorts of little gizmos on here, you know, with wheels and tires and all of this sort of stuff. They call it a new model, but it's not a brand new creation. In fact, most of the new models often come with some of the inherent faults of the old models. And you and I are no different. You and I can talk about being brand new in Jesus Christ, and we are, but we come complete standard equipment with the old default of sin. That's us. And until we stand face to face with Jesus in heaven, that is something that we will need to deal with. And yet Paul not only just talks about a new model complete with old defects, he also talks about a brand new creation. Something that is given to us by Christ. It's something that's given to us because of our relationship with Christ. But just a quick review. Last week, Paul said, put to death. He said, take off that which was old. And in previous to this, in verses 1 through 11 of Colossians chapter 3, in two separate instances, he's going to give kind of a catalog listing of those things that we ought to take off, put off. But then he also says, and uses harsher words, put them to death. This passage from Romans chapter 6 is Paul's great letter and great passage on baptism. In the second service, we're going to baptize little Mackenzie Hill. And in that baptism, even though it is such simple water, in baptism, Paul tells us that's where the old self is put to death. And I know this is probably hard to see and to make out, but it says just like Jesus was put to death, God wants us to put to death our old sinful self. Well, right behind it's the empty tomb. Because Paul starts out this section in Colossians 3 by saying that just as you have been raised with Christ, put off all that's old. But it's even stronger than that. Even though we come standard equipment with sin, in baptism, the penalty for sin is wiped out. And the power of the resurrection that raised Jesus from the dead is now what is given to us. So Paul starts out in this new you, first put to death the old. Live in your baptismal life. And instead, put on the new self. It's like standing in front of a mirror. And again, I will admit, this is probably really hard to pick up, but it was such a great slide, I had to use it. But it's like a person standing in front of a mirror, and instead of what they see, instead of that image that we're so used to seeing, it's the image of Christ. That's the image that we, Paul says, should see in the mirror. This new self, this new you, is not really me. It is Christ living in me. And that's then how it's reflected to others. And so then, with that as kind of the background, Paul then now in verse 12 and following goes on to say, this is what the new you looks like. This is the image of Christ that is in us that then is reflected to others. And in those verses, 12 through 16, he lists four different ways in which that image is reflected. Over on the left-hand side, and I've just kind of split those verses out. Three of them are on this slide, and the other one's on the next slide. But first of all, that new you, that reflection of Christ, is our own personal, who we are as people, as persons, as followers of Jesus, as children of God. If you read those words, they should become, you might make a natural comparison, because many of them are the same words, to the fruit of the Spirit. That's who we are. When Paul talked in Galatians about the fruit of the Spirit, he said, this is who we are. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, and so forth and so on. Nine characteristics. That's who we are. This new self is the Spirit living in us and building in us and creating in us these kind of characteristics. Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. And Paul here continues that imagery of taking off the old, putting it aside, and instead putting on the new. Clothe yourselves, he says. But this first idea, this first reflection of the image of Christ has to do with you and me. You can't change anyone else. You can't change your relationship with anyone else unless, first of all, this is taken care of. Me. You. But then second of all, he says, okay, if this is what is being reflected to others, this personal side, now there's the interpersonal side. And that's in the middle there. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all of these, put on love. Forgiveness and love. That should be how we react with one another. If there is anyone here, myself included, if there is anyone here who has never sinned or never wronged another individual, I want to talk with you. I'd like to know how you did it. You and I live in that world of forgiveness. Either giving forgiveness, granting forgiveness to one another, or being forgiven by someone else. Just this morning, as I was kind of praying and reflecting on this morning, I thought, you know, I need to talk to my daughter Charlotte and her husband Dan. And I need to commend them. Because one of the things that I've seen in their household whenever we've gone to visit, and I don't think it's just when we show up to visit, I think it's an everyday occurrence, that there is this sense of forgiveness. Even to Titus, who is going to be turned 2 in a few days. But even with the kids, 6 and 4 and 2, if they do something wrong, if they take a toy and throw it at the other person, and then they say, you know, that's not right, you should ask for forgiveness. And I've thought, how does a 4-year-old ask a 2-year-old for forgiveness? And Micah will say to Titus, forgive me. Or something to, I'm sorry, forgive me. And they've learned. Now, granted, it's somewhat rote at this point, but the concept is there that in that interpersonal relationship, Titus will say, I forgive you. Now, that's a powerful statement for me sitting there watching this thing and having a 2-year-old forgive a 4-year-old. And they begin to have a sense of what interpersonal relationships are supposed to be as children of God. That forgiveness is one of those things that you and I live in every single day. But then over this, Paul says, and put on love. Because love binds everything together. Now, I don't know how many times I've preached on 1 Corinthians 13 at weddings. You know, I think in my file, which is, well, it's thick, I think that probably half of those are on 1 Corinthians 13. And yet it never ceases to amaze me. You get to the end of that chapter, and he says, these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. Why? Because over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. And so as Paul's talking about this putting on the new self, he says, first of all, take care of yourself. Let the Spirit live in and through you with the fruit of the Spirit. And then take care of your relationship with one another through forgiveness and love. And then third of all, he says, your worship and your future renewal. You can't always run on a tank of this. Your tank's going to run low, okay? When I had my Harley-Davidson Sportster, I thought, oh, that was so great. Until I was driving down in our neighborhood, and I had barely 70 miles on that tank of gas, and I ran out of gas. And then it was Lynn Voigt, who happened to be standing out in his yard, and he looked at me and he said, something wrong? Would you like some gas to get? That's pretty embarrassing. We can't continue to love. We can't continue to forgive. We can't continue to show compassion and kindness and all of those things. It goes out, and something needs to renew that and refresh that. And Paul says, here are the two things especially. One is let the peace of Christ live in you daily. Live at peace instead of looking for, well, how can I get the advantage here or the advantage there? And then he says, and in your worship, he says, talk to each other about hymns and spiritual songs and all of that. That's what we do in worship. But it's all based around the Word of God. This is where we are renewed. We can take holidays, we can go to spas, we can do all of those things, but here is where the new is put on. That new creation is strengthened always through the Word of God. So the third, and then the fourth of these was, and whatever you do, do it out of thankfulness to God. What's our goal in how we live and how we interact with one another? What's our goal? Josh Nix, our Minister of Youth and Young Adults, if you've gotten your copy of the September Tidings, the lead article is all about what's our goal. This is what Paul says is our goal. Whatever you do in word or deed, no matter what it is, whether it's cleaning toilets, whether it's a police officer, whether it's a waitress, a cook, a singer, a doctor, whatever it is, even when we're retired, whatever we do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus because that's who we reflect. That's the image in the mirror, according to Paul. Giving thanks to God the Father through him. Paul in this section is talking about a new way of life. He's talking about a brand new creation. And you know that passage well, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. If anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. It's not just a new model, it's a brand new entity. It's a new creation. And that new way of life means that there is something special. I found this quote, and those of you who know Will Rogers know that he had a unique way of talking about things. He said, "Live in such a way that you would not be ashamed to sell your parrot to the town gossip." Think about that. Who's in the mirror in front of us when we look in that mirror? Is it the image of Christ? Paul, in his encouragement to the Colossians, says we are not just new models, but we are brand new creations. And as this new creation, we have a new way of living. We have a new way of being. We have a new way of dealing with others. We have a new way of looking at life in general, whatever we do or say. Let's pray. Gracious God, as we continue this new life, as you have destroyed the power of Satan, the penalty of sin in baptism and in your glorious resurrection, Lord, as you've destroyed that, we still must deal with Satan's anger, with Satan's power. Even though he's defeated, he's still there. And so, Lord, we ask that through your Spirit, through the power of your Word, through the power of that resurrection that is also ours, that you've given to us, Lord, help us to take off, put away, to daily drown, as Luther would say, that old person, and instead to put on brand new each day your presence, your Spirit, to live as the new creation you've made us in Jesus. For it's in his name that we pray. Amen.